Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. On Vegan Nation, we're going to have a regular feature of Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tips. And here's Alfie with vegan parenting tip number one.
It is delightful when your child is invited to a friend's birthday party. But when the friend's family is non-vegan and not familiar with your family, it can get tricky. I mean, a child usually wants to be eating what everyone else at the party is eating. I usually inform the parent when I RSVP and ask if I can bring anything. If they are serving pizza, you could bring one vegan pizza to the table to share, or your own veggie burgers or veggie dogs if the hosts are grilling. With anticipatory thought, you can come up with ways that everyone gets fed comfortably and no one is uncomfortable about it. Now, it's easy to understand how exciting it is to share and partake in an elaborate birthday cake with the smell of hot candles still in the air, so I usually discuss the choice with my children and then just stand back. That was Alfie's vegan parenting tip, but remember there's more beneath the surface.
Hey, welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Today's interviews are with Susan Endlich and Joanna Blad. My guest, Susan Endlich, is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She worked in the court system with families dealing with domestic violence, child abuse, substance abuse, and mental illness. And now she's devoting her time to ending animal cruelty and increasing compassion for all sentient beings. Joanna Blad has been involved in holistic health with nutrition and therapeutic body work and has also extensively studied the ego. She is a world traveler, having visited 15 countries on 5 continents, and now she resides in Las Vegas, and instead of traveling the world, she is now devoted to transforming the world to help resolve and remedy the world's violent crisis with her vegan activism. Thank you very much, Joanna and Susan, for joining us on Vegan Nation today.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us. Yes, we're happy to be here with you and all your listeners.
Susan, I'd like to ask you about your work in the court system and now the connections that you see with the food rituals.
My work with the court showed me that families can heal from even the most egregious forms of abuse. A year ago, I stumbled upon some animal cruelty websites that turned my view of human nature on its head. For the first time, I was confronted with the shadow of humanity's wholesale violence against animals throughout the world and throughout time. The very real and deadly consequences of believing in human superiority and that other sentient beings are merely here for our use. While familiar with psychological pathology and sadism, I was unprepared to comprehend how average, kind people remain unconcerned and indifferent to the billions of terrorized and abused animals killed at our hands. What is different, I find, about human violence against animals is that it is culturally and legally sanctioned. And because it is legal and sanctioned, this shadow of violence in our human nature is allowed free rein. Since the animals' lives are devalued, it is this cultural shadow of violence that we all participate in, whether we know it or not, unless we consciously choose to opt out. So at age 53, after a lifetime of eating meat, dairy, and eggs, I became vegan overnight. And what I intuitively have come to is that when we devalue any life, we can only cultivate violence.
I wanted to ask you about work in the sociology and psychology field. Have you found that the professionals within those organizations and structures are having an open mind to veganism and looking into it deeply as part of the solution to remedy social problems?
It's an area that I have great hope in because the field draws people who are naturally caring and compassionate. I would want to invite people to extend their compassion to all sentient beings. And I'm also intrigued with the idea of broaching people at the court system and specialists in domestic violence to entertain the thought that violence has a continuum and a connection, that the rituals that families participate in every day, whether it's eating animals 3 times a day or teaching your children how to hunt, or taking them to circuses or rodeos and enjoying animals who are suffering for our own entertainment. I would, in my optimism, anticipate there will be people with open minds to that message. One psychologist that is doing wonderful work in the area of promoting veganism and is Melanie Joy, and she actually coined the term carnism, which is the word for our meat-eating cultural worldview. The dynamic of carnism keeps this cultural shadow of violence against animals hidden from your average kind person. And these are people who would naturally feel empathy towards animals if the shadow was revealed. The shadow, if they could see beyond the cultural message, which is dominant and which purposefully marginalizes any attempt to counter it. The only way the shadow gets healed is by bringing it to light and bringing it to awareness. Unless we do that culturally, we can't heal it.
And Joanna?
Yes, I totally agree with what Susan just said. We need to take everything out of the closet, so to speak, and until we examine it, it just stays buried and nothing is ever changed. So what we're trying to do is to soften the hearts and minds of everyone out there so we can all enjoy an incredibly beautiful, peaceful earth in our lifetime especially, I hope. You have to wonder that even though, again, your average kind person may not be aware of the violence, it's getting harder and harder to remain unaware of it because the images are out there, the information is out there, and people still want to be in denial of it. This dynamic of devaluing life, period, any life, how that affects us. And you can only look at the world around us. You know, I had intimate experience with family courts. Families can be one of the most abusive systems in the world. So we clearly have issues with violence among people, among families, among strangers, among cultures, and we don't have enough messaging around respect for all life. We can only look at this as an individual shadow as well as a cultural one because our culture, it's insidious because it promotes, it bombards us at every turn that killing animals is justified and normal, but it does it in a very insidious way because it whitewashes the violence. It relieves us of any sense of culpability and participation in this ritual. You know, we have pictures of happy cows. We have the notion that animals' lives have no value. They're simply commodified as things. That is really what I'm grappling with and how I can find some way to help heal this dilemma.
And yet school children are not even given the opportunity to receive education about the source of these animals and what's happening and the many options that are available with vegan foods that are so delicious. Even just the pictures of vegan food just on Facebook alone could extend from here, Massachusetts, to you, Susan, in Berkeley, California. So, Joanna, I wanted to ask you about that. Because we have so many delicious, nutritious vegan choices, yet there seems to still be quite a resistance to embrace this opportunity for cruelty-free food. What's your take on that?
My take is that we are not interested in shared interests. We're interested in just satisfying our own egoic traits, and we don't want to think about others. We want to think about ourselves.
We've been listening to Susan Enlick and Joanna Blad, who are sharing information on the intersectionality of violence against animals in the ritualized food practices in global cultures, not just the American culture. And Susan Enlick, as a licensed marriage and family therapist, having worked in the court system for many years, is helping us to understand the connection and how veganism can help bring harmony in the family and the social units. And Joanna has been sharing her information on her understanding of violence within the human ego to violence worldwide. After this break, we'll return with more conversations on this note.
The Middle Eastern Oud, the Indian Shanai, Tibetan Chants, Tuvan Throat Singers, Balinese Gamelan, African High Life, Music of the Whole Earth, every Saturday afternoon from 5 to 6 p.m. on WCUW, your community radio station, bringing you sounds of the world on Music of the Whole Earth.
You can always hear news at 5. But for your first taste of truly independent national and world news, you want to be right here at 91.3 FM from 4 until 5 for Democracy Now! Hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, you'll hear fair and unbiased news that you won't hear elsewhere. Democracy Now! Monday through Friday from 4 until 5 p.m. over your source for community news and events. This is WCUW Worcester.
What a beautiful world.
Hi, this is Troy. You're listening to WCUW. Tune in on Fridays and hear the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays from 9 to 12 noon.
Beautiful world.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, and my guests today are Susan Enlick and Joanna Blad, who are sharing feminine wisdom, making the connections between violence and how we can create a more harmonious, peaceful family and global society.
When I have witnessed the violence and abuse among families, whether it's domestic violence or child abuse, it's the problem of dominance and power over. And that is a direct relationship to how humans view animals, the speciesist view that the mighty and the powerful exploit the vulnerable. And it's a view where there is someone in a superior position and someone in an inferior position. How this relates culturally to the larger level of violence is this is always taught. It's always brought down from one generation to the next. Abuse is multi-generational, and it is also reinforced culturally.
Yeah, when you say multi-generational, I think of the foods we've been brought up with were passed down from our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, and so it creates a resistance for any change, yet the change is not in the presentation of the food. With veganism, we can still have fish and chips and lasagna and spaghetti and meatballs, except it's veganized. So instead of the protein of dead flesh of animals who have been, as you're describing, dominated and seen as inferior, seen as insignificant, we can eliminate all of that on the plate because now the foods are made out of plant protein. And many of the companies, the Hampton Creek, the Beyond Eggs, the Beyond Meat, have made the texture and tastes identical to what we've been raised with.
If people would just realize that we're not trying to take anything away from them, we're not trying to tell people to stop eating. We're just trying to tell people that there's a kinder way and a better way to eat. And if they would give it a try, they wouldn't even miss animal flesh and secretions any longer. They just need to give it a try. They have to get through this indoctrination, this brainwashing. And once that happens, they can be as happy as they ever wanted to be and see happiness all around them instead of seeing the horror everywhere.
Another fact I just learned that I was so surprised and shocked and dismayed was about the making of cheese. To think that we take the breast milk of a bovine or a goat, and then for cheese, in addition to abducting her calf, killing him, his abdomen is then slit open and his stomach lining is then used, it's called rennet, is then used to coagulate her breast milk to make cheese. When I ever learned of that process, I thought, could there be anything more insidious? And here cheese is a popular food everywhere and without one thought of awareness to how this is being made. And the exciting news is that there's so many vegan cheeses now. I'm reading a book, Artisan Vegan Cheese, and it's amazing, and every single type of cheese, including brie, can all be veganized. And it's just as delicious without any of the cruelty. And Joanna, can you give us some examples of the boomerang effect about what we do as a collective unit of humanity to animals and how those vibrations of energy then boomerang back to us, reflecting our own actions so that we can see what's happening and make changes?
Yes. I will give around four quickly, but there's lots and lots of them. But animal agriculture fattens the animals for slaughter. And as we eat the chemically fattened animals, we humans are fattened to experience extreme obesity problems, as we are on the path to our own premature death from this health issue. Animal agriculture rapes and dominates the animals to manipulate their procreating offspring. And human rape is a continual social and criminal problem in our society. And once again, here's another. Animal agriculture routinely steals the newly born babies from animal mothers, which shows up in the human population as child kidnapping, either from stranger abductions or spousal abductions. And also, we humans are always in fear of our possessions being stolen, and even to the point of our identities being stolen, which can be likened to the animal agriculture having stolen the animals' purpose and their identities in their world. Their purpose is now to serve man instead of themselves. And the last one I'll speak about is animal agriculture terrorizes animals all through their enslaved lives, starting with their birth to their weight in the kill line in the slaughterhouse. So consequently, we humans are steeped in our own terrorism culture that we even created a special agency called Homeland Security to help eliminate the terrorism of all kinds. So these are just four examples, but there's many, many, many as you start to investigate what happens in the animal agriculture that we are denied to see.
Thank you, Joanna, for sharing the philosophy of the boomerang effect with the goal of improving life for all children, women, men, and all beings everywhere. I have also heard that the boomerang effect of attack can also be understood in the terms of disease, that disease can be seen as attack or violence that implodes as compared to the violence that explodes that we've been talking about. Disease seen as an attack on the body or an attack on the mind, mental illness, mental disease. So the goal is to free ourselves from the vicious cycle within the endless circles of life of perpetrator, victim, victim, perpetrator, predator, prey, prey, predator, by practicing kindness always. In today's program, we're going to be taking a break with a musical interlude with a song by Joy Askew called Poor Man's Greed. I first heard Joy's song as a musical score in the film Peaceable Kingdom, The Journey Home. This excellent film chronicles the story of animal agriculture farmers who have experienced a change of heart, and they have given up their financially lucrative practice of animal husbandry and are now vegan advocates. Two of the farmers are right here in central Massachusetts, in Mendon, Mass., Jim and Sherry Vanderloos. Jim was a dairy farmer, and Sherry was a dairy goat farmer. Although as time went on, it became more and more difficult for Sherry to participate in the practice of abducting every kid goat, and for Jim, every calf, from the mother animals. For Sherry, the final experience came when one of her carnist customers came to buy one of the male kid goats, and as he was placing him in the trunk of his vehicle, with, of course, the four hoofs of the baby goat tied together, hogtied, and as the goat was being placed into the trunk, he was, as they all do, scream and cry, and this little kid goat looked at Sherry as if to say, "Why are you doing this to me? Why have you betrayed me?" And that was it for Sherry. She said never again. They abjured their dairy practice, and they have turned their farm into a farm animal sanctuary, Maple Farm Sanctuary, that is open to the public. After Joy's song, we'll return with some final words from first Susan and then Joanna. Here is Joy Askew's beautiful song, Poor Man's Greed. Thank you.
let these sad disgraces happen. All my tears cry for forgiveness, 'cause in my heart I want no part of this. If there's a
Hi, this is John Catterett. You're listening to WCUW Worcester, 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
This is Nancy Cole of Mix Up World on WCUW 91.3 FM in Worcester, community radio serving central Massachusetts. Playing music from all over the world on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. Streaming to the world online at wcuw.org.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation, and a very special thank you to Joy Askew for her song, Poor Man's Greed. And my guests today are Susan Enlick and Joanna Blad, who are sharing feminine wisdom.
I do have hope that as the shadow is uncovered, that average kind people will be able to see the truth and open their hearts in compassion to animals.
Thank you, Susan. What you have shown me, Joanna, is that if we want safety, then we need to extend safety to all other sentient beings who have a nervous system, pain receptors, who also have families and feelings, whose interests are as important to them as ours are to us. Would you please read your post that makes that connection?
Yes, Marlene, thank you. I wrote an expose comparing the ego to slaughterhouses, and this post goes,
Slaughterhouses and ego are one and the same. They both are hidden from view, and so denial of what happens there is alive and well. Both have massive support, as telling from the amount of death selling in grocery stores, restaurants, eateries worldwide. The ego thought system is fueling this supply and demand. Both require a victim, victimizer. Both are about separate interests, where there is a winner and a loser, instead of shared interests, where it's a win-win for all. Every time we eat the bodies and secretions of an animal, we have performed an ego feat. Why? Because ego is all about separate interests, self-interest, my needs being met at the expense of all others. And we know that to be murdered, the animal's intentionally, prematurely ended lifespan has to had experienced fear, attack, violence, pain, suffering, torture. Why is eating animals so ego in nature? Because there are so many cruelty-free foods to eat that don't require a living, sentient being to be murdered. The foods grown from the earth are giving lovingly from its soil and require no spilling of blood, yet the majority of the population don't want to eat these foods. Just look at the state of the world now. It can't be denied. It is full of attack, murder, war, terrorism, hate. It's a vicious circle of attack and violence. When we humans are not willing to end attack first with the animals, attack and violence are alive and well. When we end violence here, it will end everywhere. Veganism is us turning our backs on the ego and turning our minds, hearts, and bodies to our truth and everyone's truth of unconditional love. The good news is vegan food is beyond delicious. The magnificent news is that peace, love, oneness, and a better way of life is awaiting us, and we each have the choice to make it happen. What power we have. Let's leave the ego's treachery behind and bask in our true identity now.
Thank you, Joanna. I see the connection. Joanna and Susan, this has been wonderful having this conversation with you, and thank you for your courage to speak these truths. And Joanna, do you have any contact information you'd like to leave with our listeners?
They can contact me on Facebook, Joanna Blad, and I also have a group page called Tit for Tat Vegans that explains the boomerang effect that I was just discussing with you, Marlene.
Thank you. And Susan, do you have any contact information you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would add my Facebook page, Susan Endlich.
And how do you spell Endlich?
E-N-D-L-I-C-H.
We've been having an intense yet necessary conversation that has been very enlightening, one with is filled with a message of hope and faith for a kinder, safer world. In today's edition of Vegan Nation, we've been joined by Joanna Blad in Las Vegas, Nevada, and by Susan Endlich in Berkeley, California. Thank you, Susan and Joanna.
Thank you, Marlene. Thank you so much, Marlene. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. And a very special thank you to Joy Askew. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.